Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin Daf Ayin Aleph. We begin on the very, very top line by the two dots, Ayin Aleph Omer Aleph. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas, Dr. Joseph Harold Goldstein, Yosef Chaim Ben Yitzchak. All the shalom we learn for should have an aliyah from all learning. Okay, we pick up with new piece of Gemara, Omer Rav Kahana, Omer Rav. Rav Kahana says over the name of Rav, Cheresh. Now here, in general, when we're talking about a Cheresh, we're talking about a person that can't speak or cannot hear. Here, as we will see, we're going to sometimes be changing that definition to just the person who cannot hear. So we'll have to decide what we're talking about in different situations. At the present time, Rav Kahana Amar Rav is telling us that a Cheresh, a person who both cannot hear and cannot speak, the standard definition of a Cheresh, that is what Rav Kahana Amar Rav is referring to, is capable, however, of communicating via writing. So, Cheresh Shiyochol Ledaber Mitol HaKisov, a Cheresh who is normally considered incompetent because he is not considered a bardas because of his unfortunate situation that he can't hear and he can't speak, but if he can demonstrate what he wants via writing, so in this situation, Kosvin Vinostin Get Lishto. One would be allowed to go. If he wrote out, said, please go and write and give a get to my wife. So this would be a valid way of saying that this person does have das, even though he's a cheresh and can't speak and can't hear. If he can write out what he wants, that is considered das. That's what Rav Kahana Amar Rav says. We'll spend a lot of the shiur today discussing this. So the first thing we do is we question this. Amar Yosef, Yosef says, we learned this in the Mishnah. Why is it Amora, Rav Kahana Amar Rav, telling us what is Beferish in the Mishnah? After all, Rav Yosef says, we learned Michael Marshall, what's Rav's Chiddush over here? What's Rav Kahana Amar Rav's Chiddush? Tanina, we learned this in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Nishtatek, that if a person who was originally a Bar Das then was unable to speak, he became an Elam. So the Gemara tells us, the Omru lo nichtov get liishticha. And if we go and tell him, would you like us to write a get for your wife? And the Hirkin Beroshan, he was able to nod his head, as we discussed in yesterday's shir. If he can demonstrate that he truly is a bar das by appropriately nodding yes to questions that should be answered yes, appropriately shaking his head no to questions should be said no, like we said at the end of the shir, the very top words, Ella Bepeiri. So as Tosos had brought down the very top Tosos, we're asking him if, in fact, such fruits are available out in the fields at this time. And in the summer, these fruits aren't available. In the winter, these fruits aren't available, depending on the season. So then, if he properly can demonstrate that, and as Tosus on the previous summit had said, if you ask him questions, would you like us to write a get for your wife, for your mother, for your sister, and he answers these questions appropriately, so then, in fact, Botkin also shloshu pamim imama alav lav yal hein hein. You go check it out, and hare elu yichtuv avinu. If in fact he demonstrates that he is capable of understanding what you're asking him, so then we're allowed to go and write a get and give the get to his wife. So what is Rav Kahana Morav telling us that the Mishnah doesn't tell us? So Rav Zeira gives us a very important insight, which is critical for today's shiur. Amale Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira says to Rav Yosef, Elaim comrades, the Mishnah is talking about nishtatek, that means a person cannot speak. He's not a cheresh who can't speak and cannot hear. Our Mishnah is talking about a person who cannot speak, and you can demonstrate that such a person, what his intentions are, by Hirkin Rosho. If he is checked out and he nods appropriately, shakes his head appropriately, yes or no, so that is a person who only cannot speak. Our Mishnah is not talking about a cheresh that can't speak and cannot hear. So, shiny elam. So, that's simple. An elam is considered normally a person who has das. And therefore, all you have to do is determine what exactly he wants. And if you can do that with Hirkin Rosho, and he says appropriately, yes, yes, no, no, so then you can go right to get for him. That's all our Mishnah says. It doesn't say anything about a cheresh who is both incapable of speaking and incapable of hearing. And Rav Kahana Marad is adding that to say that even though he is considered normally a lav bar das, if he's able to yochel adaber mitoch achsav, he can write out what he wants. And in that situation, kosvim enos and get lishto. So that's the big chiddush of Rav Kahana Amar Rav, that we're dealing here with a full-fledged cheresh who cannot speak and cannot hear. Not just talking about a person who cannot speak, which is how Rav Zeira understands our Mishnah, talking about a person, nishtatek, who just cannot speak, but he can hear, and therefore is considered bar das, as the Gemara says, the Tanya, midabe, if a person can speak, ve'enu shomeya, No cheresh. That's one of the definitions of cheresh. Not the classical definition, but that is one of the definitions of a cheresh, a person who cannot hear, but he is able to speak. He is a bardas. And likewise, shomef, a person can hear, but he can't speak. Zehu ilim, that's what we refer to as an ilim, a person who cannot speak, but he can hear. And both of them, the person only has one of these two deficiencies, whether he cannot hear but can speak, or he can't speak but can hear. Zeh v'zeh harehen kepichin l'chol divrayim. They are both considered absolutely bale das, and therefore you have to do is determine what is their intention. So if they write it out, or if they are able to appropriately answer your questions with a nodding yes or nodding no, so then they are bar das, and you can do what they say. Now, umimai, where do we see the midaber, person who can speak, ve'eno shomea, is also zeh cheresh, that he's referred to as a cheresh, and where do we see that a shomea, person who can hear, however, ve'eno midaber, is called an ilem, zeh ilem? So the word says, it's based upon psukim, duksiv. The pasuk tells us, the pasuk going to heal him, v'ani kecheresh loeshma, I am like a cheresh, and loeshma, I cannot hear, but I can't speak, and I'm like uche ilem, lo yiftachbid, and I'm like a person who cannot open his mouth, but can hear. So therefore, that is the source for this idea that a cheresh sometimes can be referring to a person who just cannot hear, but is able to speak. Not the classical definition of cheresh, that can't speak and cannot hear. And an ilim is the person who just can't speak. So that's teretz number one. V'bayi seimo, you could just say, this is the popular aphorism that people say, kedam re'inches, that people say, ish takel milule. Rashi explains this is a nutrikon. Ish takel milule. His speech was taken from him. So this is a nutrikon for ilame. Ish takel milule is ilame. If you use this as a mnemonic or nutrikon for the word ilame. So that's how we know. So therefore, Rav Zeira says, Rav Yosef, your question doesn't get off the ground. Rav Kahana Amar Ravi is giving us a big chiddush that we wouldn't have known from the Mishnah. However, then Rav Zeira says, but I do question this din of Rav Kahana Amar Rav. Amar Rav Zeira, ikashali hokashali. But if there is a problem over here, this is the problem. Because we have a brice and it goes against Amar Rav Kahana Amar Rav. Now, while we always say Rav Tanahu Apolig, we don't like to ever give that explanation. We always ask the question. Rav seems to be going against a Bryce or a Mishnah, how could he possibly do so? So over here, Rav Zeira is saying that. We have the Tanya, we have a Bryce, and it seems to go against what Rav said. Again, Rav Kahana Omar Rav is telling us that even though a person is absolutely a Cheresh, a full Cheresh, he cannot speak and he cannot hear, yet he could be a Var Das. The Bryce seems to say otherwise, the Tanya. The Pasuk tells us that if a person knows testimony and he doesn't tell the testimony, so then he's going to be held accountable. If he swears he doesn't know testimony, and then he, in fact, did know the testimony, he's going to have to bring a carbon. So, im lo yagid, so if a person goes and says, no, I don't know testimony, so then, he's going to have to go and suffer the consequences. So, the Bryce tells us that this pasuk teaches us pratli ilein shein yochel lahagid. This excludes from this din that you're going to have to bring a carbon somebody who cannot speak. Now, according to Rav Kahana Marav, why should he not be able to bring a carbon? After all, why is he not obligated to bring a carbon? He could have testified by writing. According to Rav Kahana Marav, this person could have das, and yochol ledaber mitoch haksav. So therefore, why does Rav Kahana Marav say that, yes, we can go give a get to somebody, kosu nosu lo get liishto, if in fact he writes it out? This Brisa understands the possibility, oh yeah, given a savo, no, piratli elaine she'eno yochol hagid. This excludes a person from the din who cannot speak. Now, why can't we say he writes it out? After all, Rav Kahana Amar Rav says that that's good. Am I ha'yochol hagid? He can give his testimony mitoch haksav. So you see, from this Brisa, Rav Kahana Amar Rav is wrong. So that's what Rav Zeira's question was, but Abaye says no. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says no. Rav Kahana Amar Rav has no problems. Eidus Karmas, you want to bring a riot to Eidus? That Rav Kahana Amar Rav, therefore, is proven wrong by Eidus? No. Everybody agrees. Even though a Cheresh, according to Rav Kahana Amar Rav, a person who cannot speak and cannot hear, is still able to write out what they want. If they have the ability to do that, then they have Das. That's only in anything other than Eidus. But shiny Eidus is different because the Torah tells us, the Rachman Amar, mi pihem, velo mi pi ksavim. You're only out to go and give testimony orally. You cannot give testimony in writing. The witnesses can't go and send their testimony in by writing. They have to absolutely be there in person and go and give that testimony orally. And this cheresh is unable to do so. Therefore, im lo yagid v'nosavu now only applies to a person who can go and give oral testimony. But it has nothing to do with a kasha against Rav Kana Marab to say that if a person is a true cheresh, can't speak and cannot hear, nevertheless, if they can write out their instructions, you could go and write a get and give the get for their wife. So therefore, Rav Zeira's question is answered. However, the Gemara questions this. Abaye had said that Edus is different, but the Gemara says Meitzah. There's another Brisa that seems to say that Edus is not different. After all, the Brisa says Kishem Shebotkin Oso Legitin, just like you could go check out the person for Gittin. So Rashi explains that this is referring to the case of Anishtatek, the person that cannot speak, the Hirkin Birosho Koyim, we're dealing with, that we can figure out what his intentions are by asking him questions, and he answers yes appropriately, no appropriately. So in this case, Kishem Shebotkin Oso Legitin, just like we can check him out for Gittin, and when we ask him, do you want us to give a get to your wife, and he responds correctly to all of our questions, we can go and write a get and give it to his wife. So too, Kach Botkin Oso, we can do the same type of checking out, Botkin Oso, to see in regards to Limasos Ulamatonos. Rashi says this is for Memkar Memkar. So Limkor Binichosov, to go and sell his property or to give away his property as a gift, and Ula Eduyos, and for testimony, and for Lirushos, and in regards to Yerusha. Now, what do you see over here? Ketani Mias Adios. It says over here that we can go and check him out. Now, he's not verbalizing it, and yet we can check him out for Adios. And you see that we do accept Adios, even if it's not orally given, as long as we can check it out, and we can verify that this is what his intention is. So we do accept non-oral testimony. So this Akasha and Rab, who says, Shiny Adios, the Torah says it must be Mipi and below Mipi Ksovim. Here you see that it doesn't have to be Mipi Ksovim. It can be via Botkin Oso. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood this price. So Amr Yosef Barmin Yumi, Amr Sheshes, Rav Yosef Barmin Yumi says the name of Rav Sheshes, the Adios Isha, we're dealing over here with a very specific type of edus, which Chazal were very makel on, Mishum Aguna. So in regards to saying testimony about a woman's husband being dead, so here we will accept Dakilu Bar Rabban, and the rabbis were makel in this situation to allow a woman to get married, as I said, Lahasiyah, based upon Eid Echad, as we Rashi brings down Dakilu Bar, the Eid Echad, Karov v'shivcha, we even will accept a person other than those five women that have a natural hatred towards the wife. So other than those five women, we'll accept her cousin, we'll accept other krovim, we'll accept her mother to say this, not her mother-in-law, but her mother, and we'll accept an eved or an amma v'shivcha. So therefore, there's a kula over here in regards to preventing a woman from being an aguna, that we assume it's a daitka uminseva, she'll go check it out very, very well before she gets married. So therefore, we allow this one apostle, A, to even testify. So too, Rav Yosef Bar Minyuni, Omer Sheshes says, that's why we would allow the person who cannot speak, the Nishtate, to go and, by Hirkin Rosho, they would ask, so-and-so dead, is so-and-so dead, what about so-and-so, etc. And if we can verify that what he's saying is accurate, so then we would, in fact, accept his testimony. So it's not talking about normal Eidos, and therefore this price is not a kasha on Rav, who said, Mipiyam v'lo mipi ksovim. That's in general, yes, but here is a specific exception to the rule. Mark continues and says, but it also said, V'hoktani Yerushos. So it seemed to say that by Yerusha, as Rashi points out, because Sol Kedaito, Lohoid, a Yerusha. Aren't we talking about here, he's testifying about Yerusha? Just by Hirkin Rosho, just by nodding his head appropriately, yes and no. So we allow that type of testimony in regards to Yerusha. So again, Akasha on Abaye. Someone says, no, again here too. Amar Revo, he wasn't testifying about Yerusha. This is dealing with Yerusha's Bino HaBechor. This is dealing with, Rashi says, a specific type of Yerusha that we trust this person via Hirkin Rosho, that he is stating over here that he doesn't want to give the double portion to his Bechor son. Rashi brings down the Ramas Alma Rebbe. My Yerusha's Beno that we're talking about over here, Imrotzali Hashvos Es HaBechor Ki Echad Mibonav. Instead of giving the Bechor the double portion, which he's entitled to, the father says, no, I want him to get a regular portion like everybody else. I don't want there to be fights. I want everybody to get the same portion. And therefore, in this regard, Lochinokat Yerusha's Beno HaBechor. That's why Rabbi Abba says we're dealing over here with the Yerusha of his son who's a Bechor. That specific type of Yerusha. Lo lishanos al mishpat a Yerusha shel Torah. He's not changing around the regular Yerusha of the Torah, except that he doesn't want the Bechor to get the double portion. And therefore, that is allowed. That's not a testimony, and therefore it's not a kasha on Abaye, the Mipim, v'lo Mipik Sodom, but that is the father's right to go and give the Yerusha distributed the way that he wants. That's the way Rashi understands his Tosos. And Dibur HaMask of Oktan Yerushos disagrees with Rashi, and he says that we're dealing over here with the ability of a father, in Dibur HaMask of Yerushos Benoah Bechar, that he says that Amar Rabbeinu Yitzchak, the Hainu, Sha'omer al ben Dein Habadim Shu Bechar. We believe the father to say, this is my Bechar, right? A guy comes from out of town, he has two children, they look about the same age, and we believe the father say, this one is the Bechar, and this one is the second born. So that's what it's talking about. The Nemon Lekach Ayidei Harchana. So by his shaking the head, yes or no, so we can establish that which child is the Bechar. That's why Tosus understands this. Now, like Rashi said, you take away the double portion. In any event, these aren't standard testimonies, and therefore there's no problem on Abayu, says me pee and below me pee stop. No, what about the last two? Tony Mias says Lamasos, Lamatonos, for business dealings, for Memkar, Memkar. So for buying stuff, for selling stuff, for giving over Matonos, so he's testifying, isn't that what we're talking about? So we believe him, Kasha Nabaya, Mipin Lobi Viksovam, my lively Amar, I'm referring to him talking about other people. So it says the same type of answer, Lo Lidi Day, referring here to himself, that he's believed to say that I gave this to so-and-so, I sold this to so-and-so. So that is not called Eidos, that is acceptable, that's not a problem with me, P.M. So all the kashas on Abaya have been swept aside from this Brisa. Okay, now we go back to Rav Kahana Rav's statement that we believe the Cheresh, who cannot speak and cannot hear, that if he can demonstrate that he can write out what he wants, so Kosvin and Nostin get Leishto. Okay, now, Cheresh, the Brisa says, Cheresh, lo holchu bo acha remizosav, v'acha kifitzosav, v'acha ksav yodo, ela bimitaltalin. For this type of a Cheresh, they cannot hear and cannot speak. So we want him to allow to do certain things. So we only allow him for basically for business dealings, for mitaltalin. So we'll allow him to go and do remizos, to make some sort of signals with his hands, or kifitzosav is to make some sort of lip movements, to like to mouth out the words, even though we can't make any sounds, but we can lip read and see what he's saying, or by writing down ksav yado. So Rav Kahana Amar Rav says that we accept it even for a get, but here the Brisa says we only accept it for mitaltalin transactions and not for a get. So this Brisa is another kasha on Amar Kahana Amar Rav. Avolola Gittin, the Brisa specifically states not for Gittin. So here you have a Brisa that goes against Amar Kahana Amar Rav. So therefore, Tanoi, the Gemara answers that in fact it's a Machlokas Tanoi. Again, it could have said that Rav Tanu Upala, but we don't like to give that teretz unless we have to. And here we don't have to, because we have another Tana that says like Rav's opinion, so it's a Machlokas Tanoi. No, that Rav doesn't hold like this Brisa that says only for Remizoso, Kivitzoso, and Xaviodo for Metaltlin, but not for Gittin. Okay, that Tana argues with Rav Kahana Marav. But this Tana that we're about to introduce agrees with Rav Kahana Marav, and that's who Rav Kahana Marav holds like. What is this Machlokas Tanoim? The Tanya. We learn the following Brisa. Omar Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel continues this Brisa that we just brought down. That was the original question of Rav. So that's the Tanakhama's opinion. And along comes Rav Shimon Gamliel, and he says, Amar Shimon Gamliel, under what circumstances that this Brisa referred to that we don't trust him for anything other than Metatlin? That's Becheresh Meikaro. That is only a person that was born as a Cheresh who can't speak and cannot hear. And there's no way to establish such a person as having Das. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that when Rav Kahana Amar Rav said that we do allow the writing for a get in a person who's a Cheresh that can't speak and cannot hear, Avo Pikeach, that's talking about a person who her life was born as a Pikeach, and then some accident occurred, or some sickness occurred, Vinischarish, and now he cannot speak and cannot hear, but he was originally a Bardas, such a Bardas, Rav Shimon Gamliel, which is the opinion of Rav Kahana Amar Rav, says, who co-save the Hain Chosman. He can write out, I want you to go write and give a get to my wife. So that is establishing in a person who was previously a Bar Das that he still is a Bar Das. And therefore, they're allowed to go and follow what he wrote down and go and give a get to his wife, if that's what he wrote down. Kisvu v'chismu. Okay, so this is the Tanaic opinion of Kahana Amar Rav goes like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now, the Gemara says, really? V'cheresh meikor lo? This Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying only if he was a Pikeach originally, but not a Cheresh originally. So the Gemara says, Kishem Shekon Sobir Remizo, we have another Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Yevamos. Kishem shekon sobe remiza, a person who is a cheresh, who cannot speak and cannot hear, is allowed to be married. Midirabanan. Kishem shekon sobe remiza, he can bring her into marriage via these various types of gestures. He can go and show her that I wish to marry you, and she can accept, and then married me the Rabbanon, kach motziya b'remiza, he so too can divorce her through remiza. So how can you tell me that Rishon Gamliel says that it never works if they were a cheresh from the start, they have to be a pikech, and then this cheresh for this to work? Here you see the Mishnah Yevamos says clearly that you can divorce her through remiza. So why is Rishon Gamliel forced to say it's only talking about a person who was a pikech originally, and then was mischarish? Why not for a person who was a cheresh from the start, cheresh meikaro? So Gemara says, no, because that's talking about the Rabbanan, as I alluded to. When you're dealing over here with this person who was married midi Rabbanan, so then they can go out midi Rabbanan via remiza. They only married midi Rabbanan. The case over here, the Rishon Gamliel is saying, is talking about that you can't go out by remiza if you were a cheresh meikaro. It's talking about the yevimto. When they were married, the cheresh got married to his kala via yibum. His brother, who was a pikeach, as we'll see, died. And there's a mitzvah d'oraisa on him to get married. And when he does yibum, that, even though he's not a bar das, that is a d'oraisa marriage. And he won't be able to go and divorce his wife through remiza. That's the cheresh meikaro. The Rishon Gamliel and Rav Kahana Amar Rav say is not able to go and write out their instructions. But if it was pikeach v'nischarish, then they could. Now, where do we see that the case that we just brought down by remiza is only allowed when we're dealing with the Rabbanan and not a d'oraisa marriage? So we're going to analyze this. I already gave you the answer, the first answer that we're going to give, which will be the permanent answer we're going to have, and that there's a difference between a d'oraisa marriage and a Rabbanan marriage. So we question that. We say, yevimto miman. When we said over here, chochamai is going to be yevimto, and that's when remiza doesn't work. So what type of a yibam situation are we talking about? Yevimto miman. Elam, if you're going to tell me, the Norfolk Lame Achiv Cheresh. There were two brothers, Nebuch, both of them were Chereshim, and the first brother married on a Durabana level, and then he Nebuch passed away without children, and the brother who's also Cheresh, so he's taking her in Yibam, so then why couldn't he get her out with Remiza? Kishem Shir Chinisasa Remiza, Kachitsiasa Remiza. This is all Durabana. So what difference does it make that it's Yibam, or what difference does it make that it's regular Durabana marriage? The Yibam is only Durabana, the regular marriage is only Durabana, so therefore you can divorce her via remiza. Kishem shekon sibir remiza, kach motziya remiza. So obviously can't be talking about that. Therefore, the first and final teres that we're going to be giving over here is Elo denof lalei me achiv pikeach. The first husband, Reuven, was a full pikeach, and he married his wife. And Nebuchi dies childless, and now Shimon, the brother who does Yibam, is a cheresh. He's a cheresh meikari. He can't speak and can't hear from birth. And therefore, he can do Yibam. Midaraisa, his Yibam is a full-fledged Yibam. So they're now married Daraisa. He cannot go and divorce that wife because here, in this situation, they didn't come in via remiza and therefore go out via remiza. He comes in on Daraisa level and therefore can't go out on a Durabonon level. On a Daraisa level, they would still be married and therefore there is no way for him to divorce her. This explains why Rav Shimon Gamliel says that only a cheresh meikaro in this situation, he is not accepted to do ksiva, to go and enact the divorce. But if he was a pikeach v'nischarish, so then in that situation, there Rav Shimon Gamliel says that he was originally a bardas, and therefore we would allow him to write out his instructions, and he continues to be a bardas, and you can even do this for a get. This is a good raya. Raya number one, and this is perfect. This is not going to be questioned any further. We're going to try to give another scenario that we could be talking about over here, that Hashem shekol tzibir remiza, kach motzir b'remiza, and we said that no hach b'yaskin b'yavimto, that doesn't apply via yavama. So v'yabai yisem, we can say, la'olam d'nofel lei me'ochiv cheresh. No, Reuven, the first husband, was also a cheresh. And Nebuchi died childless, and now the wife falls to the second brother's a cheresh. And even here, we don't allow via yibam for him to divorce his wife. Why don't we say, just like kishim shekol tzibir remiza, kach motzir b'remiza, why don't we say that? So the Gemara says that Ugezera, the rabbis enacted a gezera over here. If we let this second brother, who was doing Yibam only midrabanan, to do Yibam and then to go and divorce his wife, so Ugezera, Ochiv Cheresh, Otu Ochiv Pikeach. So the second teretz is, if we allow this in a case where it technically would work to do the get, because just like the whole Yibam was only midrabanan, because the original marriage was only through Remiza, so therefore you're allowed to do a get through remiza, but then we might say that in the next time that it happens, people will say, oh yeah, the cheresh can do a yibam, and then he can do a get. Well, they're going to do it when it was a marriage daraisa, when the first brother was not a cheresh, and therefore the marriage was daraisa, and the second brother was a cheresh, did it via yibam to marry the wife, and now wants a divorce, they'll say, yeah, no problem. So therefore it's a gezeira, takana de rabbanan, ochiv cheresh or to ochiv pikeach. That is the takana. So it says, if that's true, then how do we ever let any cheresh go and divorce his wife? Even though it came in by remiza, we should say you shouldn't let them go out by remiza because of this case of yivama. So that's a marriage d'araisa, and if we're concerned that by the yibam d'rabbanon that we allow it, so you should be concerned by a regular marriage d'rabbanon, and you shouldn't allow the remiza to go send the wife out. So it says, there's a big difference between a regular divorce and a divorce that came about via yibam. Yevimto v'yevimto michlofo. We are concerned that if we allow a cheresh marriage to then that underwent yibam to be allowed to go out with remiza, so then we could mistakenly think that a yibam marriage was daraisa, not with a cheresh, and then the yibam took effect. There we could make a mistake and say, well, just yibam to yibam, just like we allowed the yibam dirabanan to go out via remiza, so too with a get, so too we would allow the yibam daraisa to go out with a get via remiza. So that's a concern. Yevimto be yevimto michlofa. They could make a mistake. However, nobody's going to mistakenly say, well, if we allow this person to go and divorce his wife, who came in via remiza, to go out via remiza, so nobody's going to say, well, therefore you can do it for a yibam daraisa. Ishto b'yivimto lo michlofa. They didn't have to make a concern. That's not something that they thought would be likely to occur, that there would be, as Rashi says, eishes ochiv pikech, eishes ochiv cheresh, so that's unlikely to occur, and therefore the rabbis didn't make such a takana. Okay, so right now, our second teretz is a valid, good teretz, that it's a takana. Gemara says, no, got a problem. Umi gazrin and cheresh otu bekech. Really? Do we make such a concern? Yevimto be yevimto? Do we make such a concern that we don't allow a yevama that was only yevama midrabanan to go and after he takes in his yibam wife to go on divorce of a remiza because of the concern that he'll have another situation where it's a yibam daraisa and then he'll also go take her in and then want a divorce of midrabanan? That won't work. Do we really make such a gzeira? And we turn to ayin aleph omid beis and the word says, well, it's not. But we learned in another Mishnah in Yevamos, where it said, now, it's a long Mishnah, we're not going to go into in detail, but basically the first part of the Mishnah is dealing with two wives that are sisters. And if you remember back from Yevamos, the very first daf, the Gemara there taught us that Yibam will always take effect. But if there are two wives, or in a scenario where you're going to have a Yibam situation coming up on somebody who is an erva to you, so then there is no Yibam, and there's not even a Chiv of Chalitza. So, what now? We learned in this Mishnah, Yevamos, Shnei Achin Chereshin. You have two brothers that are both Chereshin. And they're married, Nisuin Shtei Achayos Pikchos. And they're married to two women that are, in fact, fully competent women. Now, the critical fact will be is that they're married to two sisters. So, Reuven is married to sister one, and his brother Shimon is married to sister number two. That is the scenario over here. And we're just going to flip around whether Reuven and Shimon are both Pikchim, and or are one a pikach and one is a cheresh, or they're both chereshin, and the same thing with the wives. Either one or both are pikkin, and the other one is a cheresh, or they're both pikkin, or they're both chereshin. But in all scenarios, we're dealing here with two sisters, so there can never be a yibam situation. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us. Shnei achin chereshin nisun shtei achoyos pikos. The first scenario is, you have two brothers that are both chareshim, and they're married to two sisters that are pikos, or oshtei achayos chareshim, or they're both married to two sisters that are chareshim, or oshtei achayos, the two sisters, achas pikachas, achas chareshim. One of them is a pikachas, one of them is chareshim. Makes no difference. They're both sisters. And likewise, vishtei achayos chareshim, or if the two sisters are chareshim, and they're married to two different husbands, who are brothers, the nesuos l'shnei achin, that are either both pikin, or l'shnei achin chereshin, or they're both chereshin, or l'shnei achin echa pikach v'echa cheresh. In all of these scenarios, you have two brothers marrying two sisters. It makes no difference whether any of them, all of them, are the same or different, because harei lupaturus mina chalitza mina yibam. There is no dino yibam or chalitza, because there are two sisters involved over here, and you're not allowed to do yibam or chalitza with someone who's an erva to you. The one exception, of course, being eshesach. But here it's Eshesach, B'makom Mitzvah. So therefore, that's allowed. But all the other Arayas, if that woman is one of the Ervas to you, she's one of the Arayas to you, so then Yibam and Chalitza don't get off the ground. So the first part of this Mishnah tells us that if the two wives are sisters that are married to the two brothers, there's no way you ever have to do Yibam and Chalitza. It makes no difference whether they're Chareshim or Pichim or combinations in any way if you want. However, and here's the part that we're mostly interested in, if Reuven and Shimon are two brothers and they marry two unrelated women, now, yichnesu, so they are able to take them in via Yibam, no matter what the scenario is, whether they're both Cherishim, they're both Pichim, or one is a Pekach and one is a Cherish, so they're allowed to go and do Yibam. The remaining brother can do Yibam regardless of the brother's status, because there is no problem in doing Yibam, whether you're Cherish or not. The Imratzu Lotziyam, but in this situation, if they wish to go and divorce them, Yotziyu, they are allowed to go and divorce them. Now, we're dealing over here with the case of the Yibam was Dirabbanan, and we're allowing them to go out with Remiza. So, in this situation, you see that we don't make a Gzeira. So, we've disproven Teretz number two, where we said that we make a Gzeira, that we don't allow over here, as we said, a Gzeira, that a Cherish ought to be Keach. So, we see that we don't do that. Teretz number two is schlugged up. Teretz number one was the right scenario, that we're only not allowing the remiza when the marriage was on a deraisa level, so then you can't divorce on a derabana level. The marriage was a deraisa because it was a yavama, a yibam situation, and therefore we don't allow in that situation remiza to go out, because the remiza only worked midirabana, it won't work on a deraisa basis. So we've accepted teretz number one, and we've schlugged up teretz number two. Fine. The Gemara says, "Am Rav Yochanan." Rav Yochanan tells us, "Chalukin olav chavei Rav al Rabbi Shimon Gamliel." Rav Yochanan says that Rav Shimon Gamliel is arguing on the Tanakhama. Again, what was the case? The Tanakhama back when Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph had said that we don't allow Remizo, Kvitzo, and Ksav Yado, except for Metalton, we don't allow for Gittin. And along came Shimon Gamliel, and he had said that no, we do allow it in a case where it was a Pikeach, who then became a Cherish, couldn't hear and couldn't speak. But if it was a Cherish Meikaro, he couldn't speak or hear from the beginning, so then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel agrees with the Tanakhama that we wouldn't allow Remiza by Gittin. So Rabbi Yochanan tells us that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is arguing on the Tanakhama, not coming to explain the Tanakhama, because, as we'll see in a moment, there is a possibility to say that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is not arguing the Tanakhama, he's explaining the Tanakhama to say that the Tanakhama holds that only it's a Cheresh Meikara do we not allow the Remiza by Gittin, but if it was Pikeach, V'nischaresh, so then we would allow it even according to the Tanakhama. So Rav Yochanan is telling us, don't think that. Don't, in fact, think that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is agreeing and explaining the Tanakhama. He's arguing the Tanakhama. And Omar Abaye says, if you didn't have the statement of Rav Yochanan, I would have said, no, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is explaining the Tanakhama. Afa nana mitanima, but we see that this is correct, that Rav Yochanan says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is arguing the Tanakhama from the following Mishnah in Yevamos. The Mishnah states, Nishtes, if a woman became Nebuch, a Shota, after she was married. So she was married, she was a full Pikachas, it's a full-fledged marriage, and Nebuch, she gets some sort of illness, and she becomes a Shota. Lo Yotzi, the husband is not allowed to go and divorce her. Now, this is a din, Midirabonon. Midaraisa, you can divorce a woman, Bal Karcha. However, the rabbis enacted that we're concerned over here that the woman is a Shota, so she's going to be nobody protecting her. If she's divorced by her husband, so then she's going to be, unfortunately, taken advantage of by people because she's a Shota. She doesn't know any better. So therefore, Lo Yotzi, the rabbis came along and said, no, you're not allowed to divorce such a woman. Even though Midaraisa you can, Midirabonon you can't. However, Nischarishu, Onishtata, if the husband was the one that became Nebuch, either a Cherish, can't speak and can't hear, or Nishtata, he became mentally incompetent, so then, Lo Yotzi Olamis. Now, here we're dealing, he can't ever divorce his wife, and here we're clearly dealing with this Mishnah in Yevamos, with a person that was a Pikach originally, and then became a Cherish, and you see clearly that this Mishnah says, no, you can't go and divorce her. So therefore, even Al-Ksav Yado, Lo Yotzi Olamis, so this shows that the Tanakhama is this author in the Mishnah in Yevamos, and Rav Shimon Gamliel argues with that. So that's what Abaye says. Look, I have proof to Rav Yochanan's statement from this Mishnah in Yevamos. But the Gemara questions this and says, "My olamis." When it said over here, "Lo yotzi olamis," what did it mean? Doesn't it mean lav af al gab the yochel ledaber mitoch haksav? Isn't it talking about exactly the case that Rav Shimon Gamliel says you can divorce her? And this Mishnah, which is the authored by the Tanakhama of Rav Shimon Gamliel, says that no, you can never divorce her, even via Ksav Yodo, because he is now a Cherish, can't speak and cannot hear. So clearly you see, Abaye says that the Tanakhama is the author of this Mishnah in Yevamos that argues with the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. case proved Rav Yochanan's statement that Rav Shimon Gamliel argues with the Tanakhama and isn't coming to explain the Tanakhama is in fact correct. However, Gemara says that's not a good proof. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, Ilav di Ashmo Inan Rav Yochanan. And it wasn't for Yochanan telling us that Rav Shimon Gamliel argues with the Tanakhama. This Mishnah in Yevamos that Abaye brought down is a proof that, in fact, Rav Shimon Gamliel argues with the Tanakhama would not be a good proof. Ilav dashmina Rav Yochanan. If it wasn't for Rav Yochanan saying so, you know how I would have understood this Mishnah? Havamin, I would have said, Rav Shimon Gamliel lepirushe taima de Tanakhama hudiyasa. When the Mishnah that we brought down, it says he's not allowed to go and do anything other than metaltalin by the remiza or ksav yado, but not gerushin. That is then explained to be only by Rav Shimon Gamliel to say that that's only talking about when it was a cheirish meikara. But in fact, the Tanakhama would hold that if it was a pikeach who was nischarish, in fact, that would be a perfectly valid type of divorce al ksav yado. And Rav Shimon Gamliel is explaining the Tanakhama now. Why? Umay olamis, because how would he have understood this Mishnah in Yevamos that said, lo yotzi olamis? So Rav Papa would say, what does it mean when it says umay olamis? It means, afal gav dechazina le dechorif. He would have said that even though we see that he is obviously a bardas, he's chorif, he's certainly capable of demonstrating to us via all sorts of signals that he is in fact chorif and understands what's going on. Nevertheless, one might have said that that isn't going to be good. But if you could actually write it out, that would be good. So the Olamis goes on the fact that he's a Charif, but not on the fact that he is in fact capable of writing. If he's able to write, that's more than Charif. So I would have said, that's how I would have understood that Rav Shimon Gamliel is explaining the Tanakhama, not that he's arguing with the Tanakhama. That's why when Yochanan comes along and tells us he's arguing with the Tanakhama, that teaches us the right way to learn Rav Shimon Gamliel. That's teretz number one. Alternatively, Rav Papa says there's another teretz over here. Inami, we could say the word olamis is inami l'chol Rav Yitzchak. It goes according to what Rav Yitzchak said. What did Rav Yitzchak say? Dvar Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak said, Dvar Torah, according to Doraisa, according to Torah law, Shota Mitzgoreshes, you are able to go and divorce your wife, who Nebuch is a Shota, because technically you don't need her das. You can divorce a woman, Baal Korcha. However, the rabbis came along and said, "Midei dahavi apikris bal karcha." That is because you can technically divorce a woman who's a pikachas, even against her will. But the rabbis came along and said, "Umatam amru eno miskareshes." Why did they not allow you to go and divorce this woman who is nebuch mentally incompetent? Shlo yinhagu ba minok hefker, because people are going to treat her in all sorts of terrible ways because the woman doesn't know how to control herself. She's not a bardas, so people are going to come and take advantage of her. So therefore, the rabbi said you can't do this. So the word olamis in this Mishnah in Yevamos is coming to teach us only about the situation that a man can never go and divorce a woman who is a shota. This is true even for a person who is a bar das, and certainly it's true for a man who's not a bar das, who doesn't have the ability to go and divorce her. So the man can never divorce the woman who's a shota, and that's what the word olamis is, and therefore, if it wasn't for Rav Yochanan, we wouldn't have understood that Rav Shimon Gamliel necessarily is arguing the Tanakhama. You could say he's explaining the Tanakhama, so therefore Rav Yochanan's statement that says, Chalukin olav chavir olav Rav Shimon Gamliel, is in fact correct. Okay, let's go on to the next Mishnah. Mishnah tells us, Amrulo, if the people say to the man, Nichtov get lishtecho, would you like us to write a get for your wife? For Amrulahan, and he says, yes, kisovo, go and write this get for my wife. Amrul is sofer, so they go and tell the sofer the kasa, and the sofer writes it out. And vila edim, and they go tell the edim, sign on the get, the chosu, and the edim sign on the get. And then they return this get to the husband, and even though they wrote out the get and it was signed and they gave it to the husband, and the chazar unisano law, and he gives this get to the wife, the Mishnah says it's not a valid get. Hare a get batel, because it's not a valid get until Achiomar, that the husband himself has to tell the sofer, la sofer kisov, to write out the get, for la edim chasumu, and the edim should go and sign on the get. And then it's a valid get. Now, this is very much in accord with the machlokas we had in the previous year between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, which the Gemara is going to go to right now. So we'll remind ourselves what that machlokas is in a second about mile mimsaran or not. Rav Meir says mile are mimsaran, and Rav Yossi says mile are not mimsaran. So The Gemara starts off and tells us the reason why this is an invalid get, it's not considered a re get batel until the husband himself tells the sofer and tells the witnesses, you sofer write the get, you witnesses sign on the get, taima de lo metznu. It's only because he said, ksuvu, could go and write this. But if he had said, ha, implication being, omar tenu, if he'd said, not only go and write this and sign this, but actually go and give this get, so then, nosta, they would be able to do this, even though they were acting on the words of the husband. And in this situation, the Gemara says, who's the author of our Mishnah Mani? It must be Rav Meir Heidi. Amar Mili Mimsra L'Shaliach. You see clearly, the Gemara wants to say, that if he had said Tenu, it would work. Now, he's telling these people, go and give this get. But they're not the ones that are writing it. They're not the ones that are signing it. They then told the sofer to write it. They then told witnesses to sign it. And now they would go give the get. So you clearly see that words can be transferred over. And therefore, Mili Mimsarun is the opinion of our Mishnah. And whose sheet is that? That's Rav Meir. Rav Meir, the Amar Mili Mimsarun L'Sholiach. Moore says, wait a second, keep on reading the Mishnah, Ema Sefer. At the end of the Mishnah, it says, no, it's not, the get is batel, unless Achiyomar la Sofer himself, the husband has to say to the Sofer himself, so, and the husband has to say to the Edim himself, v'le'edim chasum. Now, who is this? This is clearly Mile lo mimsuran. So, also Rav Yossi, the Sefer over here is Rav Yossi. D'yomar Mile lo mimsuran l'shuliach. So, clearly, we have a problem. Reisha, Rav Meir, the Sefer, Rav Yossi. So, the Reisha clearly fits in with Rav Meir that says Mili Mimsron, and the Sefer clearly fits in with Rav Yoshi that says Mili Lo Mimsron. Now, it's not a problem to have two different opinions in the Mishnah, but invariably, if you have two different opinions in the Mishnah, it will say, this is the opinion of Meir, this is the opinion of Yossi. To have them unattributed, and then to have two different opinions, is very unlikely and unusual, and that's the Gemara's question. It's not impossible, but the Gemara therefore questions, how can it be that the Reish is Rav Meir and the Sefer is Rav Yossi without attributing it to them? So I said, yeah, that's the way this Mishnah was written, in Reish or Rav Meir, the Sefer Rav Yossi, that's Teretz number one, and that's always a valid Teretz. Okay, it's unusual, but that's a perfectly valid Teretz. The Reish fits in very well with Rav Meir, the Sefer fits in very well with Yossi. No, why didn't Rebbe, when he redacted the Mishnah, he state that, okay, that's Akasha, but it certainly is not a proof against it. Teretz number one. Teretz number two is from Abaya. Abaya Omar, no, in fact, the entire Mishnah could be Rav Meir, Kula Rav Meir. Now, the Reisha we understood, but what about the Sefer? So why did the Sefer say that it's a get batel unless he specifically instructed the Sofer and the witnesses to sign himself? Seemingly merely lo mimsuran. So how do you explain that? Because Hochamayaskin, we're dealing here with the Sefer, the Mishnah, the lo amar tenu. The Sefer, he didn't say the word tenu, and that's why it's no good. Gemara says, then the Sefer should have said, instead of saying, ad, the Sefer had said over here, ad, shiyomar le sofer, ksov, le'edim chasomo, so it shouldn't have said that. It should have said, ihachi, ad shiyomar, tenu, mi boile. It just should have said tenu. It has nothing to do with telling the sofer and the edim that they have to write and sign respectively. It just should have said, he didn't say the word tenu. If he said tenu, then it's good. So therefore, that's not a good way to interpret this. So he says, okay, let's try it this way. Elach ma'askinan. You know, we're dealing with the Sefer of the Mishnah. Delo amar lebeit lasi. He didn't tell it to three people. They weren't acting as a beis din. And even Rav Meir would agree that if you tell two people, you guys, I want you to write a new sign. So then even there, Rav Meir would agree that mili lo mimsron in that situation, because they were specifically told and only told that they should be the person to go and write and to go and sign the get. Therefore, they don't have the right to go give it to somebody else. If they're acting as a base, then lebeit lasa, so then they have the right to do so, according to Rav Meir, because mili mimsron. Moore says, if that's true, so then, again, the Sefer should not have said, achiyoma l'sofo, l'sofo, so, l'edim chasovo. It should have said, yachi, achiyoma l'shlosha mibayle. It's not going to work unless he says it over the three. So therefore, Abaye's suggestion that the entire Mishnah should be the opinion of Rav Meir doesn't work. So try it the other way. Elo, in fact, Kula Rav Yossi, the entire Mishnah is Yossi. Ah, the Sefer is no problem because Mili Lo Mimsron. Baruch Ma'askin, wasn't the Reisha talking about what we said, that it does work? The Lo Amar Imru, because he didn't say the word Imru. That's why it doesn't work in the Reisha. If he had said the word Imru, so then Rav Yossi would say that that would work as well. So here, we're saying that Rav Yossi would hold Imru Amro. This is a question he had the other day. And here we seem to be saying that that's the answer. The Rav Yossi holds like that. More questions that. More says, Ihachi, Ach Yomar Imru, mi boile. Then it should have said that this is not good unless he says the word Imru. But he didn't say that. And further, avod, who says that that's what Rav Yossi holds? Who's selling us that Rav Yossi in fact says, if you say over, go and tell, so then mili or mimsrun according to Rav Yossi. Maybe even in a situation you say, go and tell, that's still not considered mili mimsrun. Mi moder Rav Yossi b'omer imru. Who says that Rav Yossi holds that if you tell them to go and tell somebody else that that works? Maybe, in fact, what's not, we learned in a Mishnah, we had this previously, but the Mishnah is actually found on Daf Pei Zayin. It says over there, Kisav Sofer V'yei Kosher. You need to have Kisav of the Sofer and the Edim for it to be Kosher. Now, what does it mean, Kisav Sofer? Rav Yirmiyah qualified that. But Rav Yirmiyah, he said, it means not the writing of the Geh, but Chasam Sofer. It means that the Sofer has to sign on it properly. Then it's Kosher. And to have another witness with the aid kosher. V'yom Ruchista, Masnis and Mari. And Ruchista said, who is the author of our Mishnah that allows the sofer to go and sign it? So this is the opinion, and we turn to Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yosi, who said, the Amar Mili Lo Mimsrum L'Shaliach, even when you say over here that I want you to go and tell them, that doesn't work according to Rabbi Yosi. Now, I'll show you that this is Rav Yossi, because V'isokadaitoch, that Moder Rav Yossi, B'omer Imru, if you're going to tell me that Rav Yossi, in fact, agrees that when you say, go and tell so-and-so to go write the get, go and tell so-and-so to be the signers of the get, so then this could lead to a tremendous takkola, as we pointed out in this year previously. Nofik mina churva, because you know what's going to happen. It'd be a terrible tragedy. The zimnim, you know what's going to happen sometimes, d'amalu lishnayim, the husband's going to tell two people, go and tell so-and-so to go and write up the get, but I want you guys to sign it. So if you say, Imru le sofer v'yichto, that works, so you know what's going to happen. I want you to tell the sofer to go write it up, and that works if you're saying Imru, the Omer Imru, v'le ploni uploni yachtimu, but I want you two guys to be the signatories on it. However, they're going to go to the sofer. The sofer's going to say, oh, I'm honored to write the get, and I'm even signing it. So he's going to sign it. Mishum kisufa the sofer. We're concerned over here that they don't want to embarrass the sofer and say, well, you weren't really asked to sign it. So with Chayshi, we have to be concerned about it, and therefore the sofer is going to be a signatory when he wasn't asked to be, and then one of the two, but not both of them, are going to be, the other one's going to sign on the get. You'll have two kosher signatures, albeit one wasn't authorized. And then they're going to give this get. Everybody's going to say, wow, this looks like a very good get. It's, yeah, 100%, this is the sofer signature. This is the one of the two witnesses' signatures, and it's a valid get. The woman's going to accept the get. She's going to get married to somebody else. When in fact it's not a valid get, and all the children could be mamzerim. So what's going to happen? The sofer is going to be one signatory, one of the two witnesses who is supposed to be both of the two witnesses, but only one of the two witnesses is going to sign on it. And the husband didn't say that. It's not a valid get. It's going to lead to a terrible takkala. So therefore, we obviously must hold that Rav Yossi says, in fact, by Omer Imru, it doesn't work. And therefore, this is no way to go and understand the Mishnah, that it's all like Rav Meir, and the Mishnah is all like Rav Yossi, Elamach Marta, the first teretz that we gave, that in fact the ratio is Rav Meir, say for Rav Yossi, as much as we don't like to normally say that, that's the only way to understand this. Now let's already go to the Mishnah, and we'll finish off to the Mishnah, because it's the same sugya. So Rav Ashi now goes and resurrects this second teretz, that in fact we could say, Rav Ashi might know, in fact we could say Kula Rav Yossi, I, and the problem that we just brought down, he says, you answer it in the following way. V'lo miboy ka'amar, that we answer it in the following way. You didn't have to tell me, it wasn't necessary to say, lo miboye, you didn't have to tell me the case, hecha de lo amar tenu, in the case where you didn't tell to give tenu, of course the get won't be a good get. El afilu amar tenu, even if the husband said tenu, nevertheless, it will not be a good get. Lo, because mili lo mimsran. And below me, boy, and certainly you didn't have to tell me the case. We didn't tell over to a based it, because even Rebbe says if you only told it over to two people, you can't go and transfer it to somebody else. But even the case, even if you told it over to a based it still won't work according to Rav Yossi. And below me, boy, you didn't have to tell me the case. Hechad lo amar imru. Certainly in a case where you didn't say, go and tell it to the sofer, go and tell it to the aid to sign it. Certainly, Rav Yossi is no good, because mili lo mimsrut. El afilu, even in the case of Omar Imru, where he said, go and tell over to the sofer to write the get, go and tell to the witnesses to sign it, even there, Rav Yossi holds low, it is not good, because even Omar Imru, Rav Yossi says it's no good. So Rav Ashi has resurrected the second teretz to say that it's all Rav Yossi. And I'll show you that this is right. Tanya Kavosi the Rav Ashi. We have a Bryce, in fact, it says like Rav Ashi, because it says, Kosav Sofer Lushma. If the sofer wrote a get for a specific woman, And the Edom signed it for a specific woman. Everything was done properly. So even though it was all done properly, and then the husband was given back this get and he gave it to the wife, that's similar to the mission that we had. The get is no good. Ad Shishmu Kolo, until the sofer and the Edom actually hear the husband direct them directly. Shiyoma the sofer, Ksobel Edom Chasomo. Ah, exactly like we just brought down that Rav Yossi holds, but Omer Ibru is no good. And now, let's look a little bit further. The Brice has said, Yishmu, they actually have to hear. The sofer actually has to hear. The Brice says, the Loshan, Ashi Yishmu Kolo. So the witnesses have to hear him telling him to sign it. The sofer has to hear the husband telling him to go and write it up. La Fuke, as opposed to the opinion of Imam de Omer, Moder of Yosef Omer, this excludes that opinion, because here it says the Bedavka have to hear it directly from him, as opposed to the opinion we had a Machlokis. Does Rav Yosef hold Omer Imru is good, or Omer Imru is not good? So therefore, that's why they have to say Yishmu. And Kolo, why did Bedavka have to say his voice specifically? La Fuke, Midur Kahana Omerah, that comes to exclude the opinion of Kahana Omerah, that you could do it via writing, that the guy is a Pikeach. So this comes to exclude that opinion, that even though he was a Cheresh, can't speak and can hear, but if he could write it out, and he was a pikech, and then he became an Cheresh, so that would work. That's only according to Rav Kahana Amarav, and this price is coming to exclude the opinion of Rav Kahana Amarav as well. This is a good break point, with this we'll conclude today's shiur.